Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord had his critics. So also does his church. That is because Jesus and his church go together. Criticism of Jesus is ultimately criticism of his church. And criticism of the Lord's church is criticism of Jesus Christ. Jesus stands by his church. His unity with her cannot be broken, as the Bible says. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Christ and his church are united by an unbreakable bond. The life that Christ lived among us is the life that we now live in this world. He was constantly under scrutiny by all of the religious establishment around him. They watched him, and they watched him closely, as the Gospel of Luke for this morning records. They were seeking to find fault in him. So also today, the world seeks to find fault with Christ's church, and for the same reasons. The Pharisees sought to judge Jesus. They judged him by the law. And they judged him falsely because they did not understand the law. One can't understand the law by knowing simply what the rules are. The rules are at best interpretations of the law, applications of those interpretations. Those rules may be sound or unsound. They may be sensible or silly. But whatever they are not the law in itself. Yet to this day, religious thinking people think that religion is all about obeying the right rules. And so first you must have the right rules. And then you must follow them. The Pharisees used the law to find fault with others, even with Jesus, the sinless Son of God. And since the Sabbath law did not permit working on Saturday, and since healing is some kind of work, they concluded that it would be a sin if Jesus were to heal a man on Saturday. And so it was Saturday, and Jesus saw a man in need of healing. And for Jesus, it was obvious what he should do. Jesus did not think in terms of rules. He thought in terms of love. For that is what the commandments teach, as the scriptures say. They teach love. They teach us how to love God and how to love our neighbor. And so, our Lord healed the man. And then our Lord turns the judgment of the Pharisees back against them, pointing out that they would be quick to pull their own donkey or ox or son out of a pit on the Sabbath. After all, their livelihood depended upon having healthy animals. And so they would interpret the law to help themselves. But they would use the same law to judge their neighbor. And so it is that we see both Jesus and his church attacked in the same way. The world uses the law as a club by which she can judge the church. But at the same time, she uses the words of the Bible to get themselves off the hook for other such sins. The attack is always the same. The Pharisaical assault against Jesus in the first century is going on right now against his church in the 21st. That is because the Pharisees were legalists, and so are those of the world. And legalists hate the gospel. And they attack the gospel by turning the Sabbath into a burden instead of a source of rest and peace. Their MO never changes. God gives a gift that brings freedom, and they twist it into a chore that imposes slavery. And since it is a chore, then we must make it more palatable for us to go through with it. Legalism is the religion of people who want to justify themselves. Give us rules to obey so that by obeying them, we will meet whatever obligations are required of us to get whatever it is that God gives as a reward for that obedience. And so the law is a means to an end, and we're in charge of it. But when you boil down this popular religion to its essence, you find the exaltation of sinful pride. What does love do? It humbles itself before others. What does pride do? It exalts itself before others. There is a direct theological link between the two events described in our gospel reading today. The judgmental attitude of the Pharisees towards Jesus and the public posturing of the guests invited to the dinner came from the same place. Sinful, self-centered, self-exalting pride. It was about me and my status. But such an attitude finds no Sabbath rest on any day of the week. You cannot exalt yourself before God and find comfort. If you want to use religion to make yourself better, you will become the slave of that false religion, because there is always more that you can do, and you always see what you have not done. And so the Orthodox Jew, who faithfully observes all the requirements of his religion, the practicing Muslim who dutifully prays facing Mecca, strictly observing the rules of fasting, dress, and diet, and yes, even the Christian who attends church every week, follows the liturgy, sings the hymns, says the creed and the prayers. If any of these rely on their obedience to the rules, they are all equally lost, equally blind, and equally estranged from God. And they have no rest or peace. Because to keep the Sabbath law is, in essence, to find one's rest in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." To rest the body and to ignore the needs of the soul is to break the Sabbath. In the Catechism, the true spirit of the Sabbath law is set forth. What is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Notice that the Catechism does not mention any specific day of the week. The Sabbath law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai was, as written for the nation of Israel. And as you know, the Ten Commandments, indeed the entire law of Moses, contained not only God's eternal, immutable moral law, but also all of the regulations that applied only to God's Old Testament people, and not to the New Testament church. And so the prohibition of working on Saturday does not apply to Christians. St. Paul writes this in Colossians. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The substance is Christ, Paul says. Christ is our Sabbath rest. And so to keep the Sabbath is simply this: to receive from Christ what Christ has purchased for us by his obedience and his death. That is what is going on. And that is what coming to church and remembering the Sabbath is all about. It is not about obeying the regulations or the rules that the church sets down for you to obey, so that by obeying these rules, you can elevate yourself into a higher religious status. This is the very opposite of what it means to honor the Sabbath. Since Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath law for us, we go to church not to observe the law. We go to church to find Christ, where he has promised to be. We go to church to receive what Christ alone has to give. As a matter of fact, the very definition of the word church is not a building or a place, but a people called out and gathered together around Jesus Christ as those who are justified by faith alone. That faith is in Jesus, who gives to his church, that is, to his believers, the gospel and the sacraments. So then the church gathers together on a Sunday morning, or a Saturday night, or a Monday or Wednesday, to do that very thing. And that very thing, receiving what he has won for us on the cross, actually brings peace and rest. So when you miss church, it is not just that you are breaking the law and you need to make up for it. You are missing out on the gifts that Christ gives. No one can give you spiritual peace but Jesus Christ alone. That is because only Jesus has borne your spiritual burden. Only Jesus has fulfilled your spiritual duties. Consider the man who suffered from dropsy. Jesus was not just showing compassion to a man who was suffering. He was suffering. And dropsy is a disease in which the victim retained bodily fluids and suffered terrible pain and even disfigurement. It was a miserable condition wherein you're drowning in your own skin. And Jesus removed his misery. But it was not just for that man's benefit that Jesus did it. Jesus was living the life of compassion, of love, and mercy that God's law requires of us all. And so every time you see Jesus doing acts of kindness, consider that he is living that life of loving obedience that God requires of us all. A requirement that we have not kept, an obedience that we have not lived out. And that is what the Bible calls sin. And this is why our conscience is afraid. This is why we come up with ways to calm our conscience, inventing rules that we can actually obey to replace the law that we have disobeyed, making excuses, blaming others, denying that sin is actually sin, or just getting angry and changing the subject whenever our sins are brought to our attention. But none of that brings us peace. But Christ does. Where we stood on our pride and demanded recognition, Christ humbled himself and became obedient all the way to death on a cross. Where we stood in judgment of others to make ourselves look better in comparison, Jesus willingly bore the judgment of God against all sinners, thereby removing that judgment from us. And so we come to church to find our true Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, who gives us this forgiveness, this peace, this reconciliation with God that he has won for us all through the means that he promised to give it. Every time we come to church, Jesus invites us to lay our burdens upon him. So what sins hurt your conscience? What personal failures bring you down and bind your soul? What doubts flit through your mind and challenge your faith? Bring these sins, these personal failures, these doubts to church each and every Lord's Day, and lay them upon Jesus. Humble yourself before him and receive from him the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And in Jesus, find your rest. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.